Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
With all the things of the week. Yeah. Okay. Right under the wire. Thank you, Jeremy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome, Sally. If you're a Facebook person and you're friends of Sally, she always starts every morning, no matter what the day is like, with something of a smiling nature and a positive message. She's Miss Sunshine. And it's nice to have a personality like that. We welcome those to worship this day, this first Sunday of Lent. Last week we left with the Transfiguration Sunday, the experience of the Epiphany season, as of Wednesday and Ash Wednesday and the anointing of the ashes. We have moved on into these 40 days preceding Holy Week, and the imposition of Christ's death sentence on Good Friday, and then the empty grave on Easter. For those on radio, we greet you on WPHM from Our Savior Lutheran in Port Huron, Michigan. We're glad you're listening to us. If you're picking us up in another time, in another place, and some will be in Florida, darn you, we're up here on a balmy 32 degree day in Port Huron. And it's going to be sunny this afternoon, like some have sent pictures to me this week with sun on the beach. I could go out to Lakeside, but it wouldn't be too sunny. But we enjoy what we have here in Michigan. I want you to know that this Sunday, February the 18th, is right in the center of the 22nd of February, which next week is beyond that. And that was the birth of this congregation, Our Savior. Next door, across the street, at the Carnegie Library, at that time in 1920, the residents in Port Huron will remember that before it became the museum. It was the public library that Carnegie established from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, across the country to enable literary skills and encourage people to read, to grow. And on that Sunday, February 22nd, 1920, the congregation gathered who were left Trinity Lutheran at 10th and Griswold to start an adventure after World War I to start a new congregation. That was the English Lutheran Church, English speaking church of Port Huron and of the Missouri Synod. And in its origin, this congregation was a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation up until the 70s. Okay. At that time, they had two interim pastors until 1930. In 1930, in the Great Depression, logic would have said, who would in a right mind would build an edifice in the time of a Great Depression? These German Lutherans said, we can do it. With God's help, we can do our ministry here as the congregation of Our Savior. So Pastor Ruff was called to serve this congregation in 1930 and became and established the roots of what would become Our Savior as a fully function. Now, it obviously existed because the Sunday school classes and some of the ministry took place in the museum. But there was a house here. If you don't have a historical recollection of it, you go in the parlor, there is a photograph that was replicated by Slim. His wife made it into a painting. And it's a picture of the red house that resided on this property. That became the original parsonage for Pastor Ruff, and it became the site for a chapel to do the worship and ceremonies of the church. Okay, that took place from 1920 to 1930 when this building was built. So for 10 years, they were just kind of like a house church. And then for the next years, we have the edifice And most people say, oh, it's six, well, that's our Savior. The answer is, yes, we are. We've been here since 1920. Just didn't look like it. It was a house. So I'll give you a little more history next week because the 22nd falls between these two Sundays, so I won't overload you. We do want the community as well as our members to know who hear this radio or podcast that coming up on this February the 24th, there will be a training here at Our Savior. It's called ALICE. It is training for organizations, churches, groups who would like to be trained by the city police of Port Huron for being alert, conscious of their environment, what to do if there is an unwarranted intrusion by somebody. There is no weapons involved on our part. This is not about how to use weaponry. This has nothing to do with the Article of the Constitution's rights. It has everything to do about being wise in your setting, whether it's at a church, at a meeting place, at a schoolhouse, or in the community at a store. So if you're interested in the training, as of this morning, Donna updated our count. We have 20 from Our Savior coming for the training. Takes place at 8 a.m. to 10:30. We have fully advertised. This is open to the community. For all those who might be listening from downtown churches, I sent an electronic update 3 weeks ago to the downtown churches to let them know of the date. Publicize it among their people. If any want one or two, three from a church want to come to this event, it is open. But please notify us for supplies and arrangement for that day for the city police. It will be here at 6th and Wall Street. You enter in from our parking lot. Our footprint is facing the museum right across in their driveway. Do not park in the high-rise parking lot. They print it and they mean it. They will tow you away. But you can park on the street, park over the Legion, park at the museum, park wherever you can find spaces. You are welcome to this event. There is no cost. Please come if you want to learn. Okay. There's no obligation when you're done that you have to do something. It's just for your awareness. ALICE is the training program.
Yeah,
8 to 11:30.
Yeah, you said 10:30.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, it's 11:30. It's a 3.5 hour training to 11:30. Okay. Our worship begins this day with the Confession of Sin from page 1. I invite you to stand, please. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So God of heaven and earth, you come in close, and you make us yours. Equip us by your Spirit to confess our sin. Embrace your forgiveness, and seek the way you set before us in your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. With honesty of heart, let us confess our sin. Merciful God, forgive us. Our will is handcuffed to sin, and we cannot be free. We have spoken when we should have kept quiet. We were silent when we should have said something. We acted when we knew better. We were still when we know we should have moved. For the wrong we have done, for the good we have failed to do, have mercy on us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. People of God, look to the Son, given to heal you and to set you free, because God loved the world so much. Take hold of life, eternal life. Amen. We sing our entrance hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And our hymn of praise is, Lord, I lift your name on high. We sing. The Lord be with you. And if you'll join me in the prayer for the day. O God, with steadfast love, you draw us to yourself. In mercy, you receive our prayers. Strengthen us to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, that through the life and death, we may live in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We listen to God's word where we are fed. Jane has our first reading.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Judeans in Babylon blamed their exile on their ancestors who had broken the covenant established at Sinai. Here the prophet looks to a day when God will make a new covenant with the people. There will be no need to teach the law because God will write it on their hearts. Our first reading today is from Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning with verse 31. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Special music this day. Both Iris and Jeremy have worked up an appropriate selection for the events of this week, as I move to microphone at the pulpit. It is entitled, If My People Pray, a reading from 2 Chronicles, 7th chapter, a single verse. And Iris will do the prelude to it. For those who know the familiarity that for the last 60 years at least, though throughout the history of America, this was the theme verse for what was called the National Day of Prayer. So from 2 Chronicles 7th chapter, verse 14. If my people pray to me, if they repent, if they turn away from the evil that they've been doing, then I will hear them in heaven, forgive their sins, and make their land prosperous again. Thank you.
second reading.
Using priestly imagery and references to the Old Testament, the author explains how Christ lived in trusting obedience to God, and so God has made Christ the source of our eternal salvation. The second reading comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
If you're able to stand for the gospel acclamation, page 7, we speak it together, please. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. That was from the Gospel of John, 12th chapter, verse 24. Now the Gospel reading for the day is from John's Gospel, chapter 12, but preceding verses 20 through 33. Glory to you, O Lord. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival, there were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to Philip, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went, he told that to his brother Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and spoke to Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it. Those who hate their life in this world will keep it, will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, so that where I am, there will be my servant also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, for what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It is for this reason that I have come to this hour. So, Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it. They said it was just thunder. Others said it was an angel that has spoken to him. Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up above the earth, will draw all people to myself." Now Jesus said, to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. For those on radio, WHLS, for us here, WPHM, you talk about old script, WPHM.net on the podcast side. God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. You'd like to follow Sermon Online inside back cover. Looking at the three texts, first one speaks about an eternal covenant, not yet here, will be realized, will last for all eternity, and it's one that God alone can give. The second reading talks about a high priest who has in effect brought in this new covenant that comes in his sacrifice and by his laying down his life for the salvation of the world. And the Joannine text from the gospel talks about coming to see. Question is what? When the Greeks see Jesus, they get more than they bargained for. He talks about he is the one who's going to give his life as a ransom for the world. And you must be ready to follow me. This is the first Sunday of Lent. We're going to have a lot of hard texts for a believer in this world, in this context of the world's values. It's going to make us really look, I think the phrase used on TV, like we have mental illness. What a judgment of the secular world upon the faith community of Jesus Christ. We're mentally ill. I'm glad you're here with me, the mentally ill. Because we actually believe in something that is not seen. A person who communicates to us in prayer that we don't hear it, and a God who has testified to the truth over centuries, not just in one spoken person on a media event, in their generation on one day, God has spoken to us through millenniums what his word and truth was. He far transcends in the mortal who may criticize him. So from the Old Testament, Jeremiah. At this point, Israel's kind of been beaten down. They've been taken into captivity. They've lost all hope, and I think sometimes after the events of this week and any other major tragedy from 2001 on, or any other state in the condition of this world in the history of the United States, it's kind of like, is there anything good going to come of things? Is God really in charge of history? Is God really going to deliver his faithful and true people? Or was just a false promise? The prophet Jeremiah was raised up by the Lord God to say, no. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. He is in the event and process of bringing about a new covenant. And he could easily call to Israel's history, but most secular Americans don't know the history of Israel. But God gave covenant to Noah, sign of the covenant, the rainbow. Do you ever see a rainbow? Do you know that scripture, God will not destroy the world again by a flood? He has bound himself to a promise. That's a covenant. And it was God who did it, not humanity. There were other covenants. There was a covenant that as Abraham was given his son Isaac, he was also given instruction about circumcision. Seventh day, shall present the male child for the rite of circumcision, and I will make with him a covenant. He will be the descendant of Abraham and bless the nations of the world, and I will bless him. That was a covenant not made by man. Made by God. And we are descendants of our father Abraham. For the real descendants, the New Testament says, are the people who have faith. We have faith. That makes us descendants of Abraham. You also know that when Moses was around, not only did he have to take him on a tour bus, so to speak, through the wilderness of 40 years, sure, wishing this bus would have stopped sooner, but it didn't. The people's disobedience brought about their kind of forestalling their arrival in the promised land so that that generation would not arrive. The next one will carry them in. Covenant. Moses goes up to the mount. He receives the Ten Commandments. God has bound himself a third time to his people. Now, you think you get the pattern that God really has this love thing for humans. He really doesn't want anybody to die to perish. He doesn't want anybody to not know him. But one thing about our God is our God doesn't force God's self on anybody. So he gave the Ten Commandments. And like Jeremiah says, you remember the covenant God made with our ancestors through Moses? This covenant was written on tablets of stone, but they broke it. I mean, he didn't even get down the mountaintop, right? You know your story. And he threw the tablets down because they were worshiping a golden calf of the god of Egypt. I mean, how short-sighted can you be? He brought you out of the wilderness. The very shirt and thread on your back has not worn out. How could you not trust your God, Israel? You were gone too long. What's too long? He gave us this covenant, Ten Commandments, what God expects of his people in relationship to God and conducting ourselves with humanity. You look around you, you deal with the crimes, you deal with the violence, you deal with everything. They violate the Ten Commandments. You don't need to write new laws. God gave the law. All we have to do is obey it. Ah, there's the rub, right? Laws are not self-effectuating. They got to have a willingness of the people to do it, to comply, to obey. And that's what humanity doesn't have. Every time we let God down. So by this date now, Jeremiah, approximately 600 BC, speaking to the household of faith of Judah, Jeremiah says, look, the days are coming. God is not done with Israel, his chosen, but it's not going to be like the other covenants. You just disregarded them, humanity. This one's going to be a covenant written on your heart, emblazoned in you, and you will obey it. Well, it's good news, bad news. One thing is, you won't disobey it. That's great. The other thing is, you're not going to have the freedom to disobey it. Oh, humanity doesn't like that, do they? We want our freedoms. We don't want our responsibilities. And so, as the word is spoken, a covenant shall be given. Now, they didn't know at the time of Jeremiah what this covenant would be. They wouldn't know that in 600 years later, when Christ appears as Jesus of Nazareth, here's the one who brings the covenant? They just saw a man who could get us free of Rome, or perhaps a lunatic who didn't know what he was thinking, or perhaps the very Messiah of God issuing a new kingdom. And that third option is what he was. So in the second reading of the day from Hebrews, Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest. He didn't have an ego trip. Most humans, when they acquire power or assume the positions, even though their intentions are good, they get misled by egos, power, wealth, the idols of this world, and we forget about our first love to the Lord God. So, in the passage of Hebrews and in Romans, when Paul describes the work of Jesus, he will say he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself and became obedient as a servant. In other words, from the onset, when Jesus entered this world, he wasn't going to battle about who's right and who's wrong and who's number one, who's number two in the Trinity. He came as a servant among us. We're further down than the Trinity on the line of priority. And he came to us, and he became a servant to us and to his Father in heaven. And he gave his life as a perfect sacrifice. He became the high priest. In the language of Hebrews, if you've ever studied the book of Hebrews, Jesus is described as prophet, priest, and king, three offices. And he holds all titles. No human has ever done that, but Jesus Christ did that. He was the one appointed, Paul writes, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." Where did you hear this? Second Sunday of January, baptism of our Lord. When did you hear this? God bless you. In the context of his ministry, and certainly in the gospel reading of the day, you are my son, listen to him. How about Mount Transfiguration, last Sunday's gospel? Do you remember last week's? The voice out of the cloud that overshadowed Moses and Elijah, Peter, James, John, up on the mount. Listen to this one. He is my son. He speaks the truth to you. Listen. And the cloud left, and there was left just Jesus. He is the son. He is the sacrifice. He is the one who offers the sacrifice. That's the role of a priest. And he gave his life as an atonement for our sin. And as Paul goes on to say, he learned obedience through his suffering. He was made perfect. He became the source of our salvation if we would just obey him. This one spoken of is the one who fashioned what Jeremiah would speak of. The covenant that doesn't need a sequel covenant. It is the final covenant of God's love for his people. And then in the gospel text is the presentation of that. Several things that kind of glisten from that. One is Philip is approached by a Gentile. If you don't know the social dynamics for the first people to hear this story, they would be traumatized. Because what is Philip talking to Gentiles for? And why would he be a missionary to them? And why would he go back to Jesus and bother Jesus with these non-Jewish requests? Because Philip has already grown to know Jesus. He cares for everybody, even those that some have put outside the fold. Do believers ever put others outside the fold? I dare say yes. In the history of God's people, we have a terrible track record. In our righteousness, we have judged others as being not righteous, but not seeing the fact that we weren't righteous in the first place. When Christians over the course of history have judged and labeled other people, and then they look down disparagingly at others and say, they're not fit for the kingdom of God, I would just say, get a mirror. Look in the mirror, and there you see who's not fit for the kingdom of God. It's everybody. This covenant of eternity is meant for everybody. I'm sorry Christians exclude some, but God doesn't. And let's get that straight. I'd rather work for God than for humans. And ministers who take their call truthfully and honestly, an ordination, they understand we'll rock the boat and we're going to agitate people. But we have to decide who we follow. Who do we speak for? The culture, which is extremely biased, or the God who told us the right way of life. And then when the church is faithful to that call of obedience and following Christ, guess what? It's everything Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Unless you're willing to die with me, you're not ready to receive everything I have for you. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, The Cost of Discipleship. In his writing before his execution by the German execution squad at his prison camp, before the Allied liberation there in Germany after World War II, he penned a book called The Cost of Discipleship. And he says, when Jesus Christ calls a person to follow him, he calls us to die. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer understood that meant his physical life too. It's the kingdom. And like a mighty fortress said, if you really listen to the words and not just have warm fuzzies because it's a Lutheran hymn, it says, though hordes of devils in this world attack us, though everything is taken away from us, our spouse, our kids, our house, they cannot win the day. Why? The kingdom is ours forever. Eternal covenant, God makes with his people, as Jeremiah promised in the Old Testament reading. His God of grace in this journey launched now with Lent is calling us to recognize he's the Lord of the covenant. He understands human suffering, and he calls us to join him in his mission to this earth. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. Our hymn of the day, page 10, O Lord, throughout these 40 days. Worship continues with our prayers. If you'll please rise. Marcia leads us.
Renewed in the promises of baptism, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. We pray for the church. Guide us into a deeper knowledge of your love and grace. Increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and service. We pray for evangelists, pastors, prophets, teachers, and all servants of the church. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for the world, for seeds planted in hope of an abundant harvest, for fertile soils and sufficient rains, for shepherds and ranchers, farm workers and seafood harvesters, for flowers and berries, for orchards, vineyards, and citrus groves. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the nations, for countries embroiled in long-term conflicts, and for communities scarred by political unrest and upheaval. Grant wisdom to the world's decision makers. Guide them to work for peace and the well-being of all people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those in need, for all who suffer in any way, for those who are lonely or isolated, for those seeking employment, for those who approach the hour of their death, and all who are ill. And we remember in our prayers today, Iris Cook, Julie Martin Dickinson, Leanne Fortuzniak, Tony Gaines, Paul Shaw, Marvin Miller, Beulah Larson, Joe Masser, Jennifer Hudson, Crystal Ferris and her friend Michelle, and Lindsay Hiller. We remember and pray for all those serving our nation in the military service, including Tristan Morrison, Jamie Sawyer, and Rob Nolan. Keep them safe, Lord, and return them home safely from their service, both here at home and overseas. Lord, we ask that you would comfort all those affected by the shooting in Parkland, Florida. Comfort them as they mourn and grieve the loss of their loved ones. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for this assembly, for those preparing for baptism, for visitors, newcomers, and those who are returning after an extended absence. Deepen us in faith, fill us with hope, and draw us all into your loving presence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
With thanksgiving, we remember those who have died, especially those who have been witnesses and examples to us. Bring us with them to the promise of resurrection and life eternal with you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Trusting in your covenant of mercy, O God, we lift our prayers to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. And if you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts for the work of the Lord's Church. For those on radio, WPHM, and for us in-house, just to know some of the things, the structures, in case you missed Ash Wednesday and our Wednesday schedule. 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock every Wednesday for these weeks prior to Holy Week, which we have special orders on Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, prior to Resurrection Day. We gather from 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock for worship here, following a theme of God's will and God's promise. This week, the presentation is going to be about Moses. Last week, it was about Abraham, and the promise God gave to him and his willingness to obey and follow God. So if you can be with us at 1 or 7, please join us. We will be here at Our Savior. And to the community, if your congregation does not offer a daytime service, please know we are here at 1 o'clock on Wednesdays where you may gather to worship with us. This Thursday starts the next 5 Thursdays of worship and Lenten luncheons. They are not at Our Savior. They are at St. John United Church of Christ, 7th and Pine Street, which is just on the other side of Grandview Tower, towards the bridge. Cornerstone Church, 150 years old, the congregation, we're 98. And if you remember in January 2017, we shared clergy back across the line through our two traditional denominations to show the unity of the church. And the altar and pulpit fellowship the Evangelical Lutheran Church has with many sister denominations, where we can build an accord between us of trust, understanding, and recognition of the sacraments and ministry in our two traditions. So we're over there. Jason Pittman from First Presbyterian is the presenter this week. The congregation of First Presbyterian is serving the lunch. It is at 12 noon. So there is a free will offering, which is for our mutual church project, which is filling the ark. I encourage you, if you haven't started filling the coin bank that is back there, get one. If you have another device, or if you're just going to write a check at some time between now and the 1st of May, just discipline yourself that you will do it in a sacrificial way. Our goal is to fill an ark. That is $5,000 worth of animals that will be transmitted to a nation in great need that has gone through an analysis and responsibility and training to receive the animals, to become a mainstay for their future feeding of their population, so as not to create codependency, but to enable people to become stronger in themselves. It is through Herfer International. If you don't know anything about the source, I give you the website, herfer.org, I think it is. or .net. Check it, it's in the bulletin, and it's in the newsletters. I've given it to you in many forms at different times and places, but go to the website. You'll see it. They're an honest group. They've been doing this since 1946. They're not a fly-by-night. They are a Christian organization that work with denominations of many types. Okay? So that's our mission project. That's the free will offering. The luncheon will be by First Presbyterian this week. Next week, I am the presenter on March 1st. Judy Avers, our coordinator for the meal, she's done a wonderful job getting people to donate sandwiches and salads. We will serve those who come to that luncheon and presentation on that particular Thursday, 12 o'clock. And we're promptly done at 1 o'clock. So if you have time constraints, you can still leave. But join us for a community fellowship. It's not a liturgical service. It's a very casual thing, so we don't violate each other's traditions. But it's where we come together as Roman Catholics and Protestants to share together in this Lenten time and luncheons. So, there are many other things in your bulletin. Again, the reminder of training this Saturday, February the 24th, from 8 o'clock to 11:30 here at Our Savior, again to the community, again for us here at Our Savior. We have 20 signed up. We hope everybody can make it that day, and others who wish to join us, please identify yourself with the church office, 982-1240. Our worship continues as our offering is presented. Please stand. We sing our offertory. We are the offering, an offering.
Merciful God, receive the sacrifice of our praise and thanksgiving and the offering of our lives, that following in the way of the cross, we may know the joy of the resurrection. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord, and let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks. Praise. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take and eat, for this is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the meal was over, he took the cup of wine. He gave thanks and he gave it for all to drink. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's given and shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." And so we join together with God's people and remember that as we promise with this bread and with this cup, we remember the Lord's Passover from death to life to proclaim his mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And so let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Return to God with all your heart. Receive bread for this journey, and drink for the desert. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Come, we're always ready. Marcia, this is Christ's body for you. Take and eat. The blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink. Depart in our Lord's peace. Amen.
Church begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.